Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 29. In this chapter, we have the stipulations of the covenant, especially as it related to the land, possession of the land for keeping the covenant, or expulsion from the land for breaking the covenant. Let's begin by reading the first 9 verses of this chapter. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came to this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do." Let's begin our study of this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 29, with some background notes. As we begin our study of this chapter, 2 logical questions come to mind as we read verse 1. Question number 1, is this the beginning of a new sermon by Moses? And question number 2, is this a different covenant than the Mosaic covenant that is being referred to here in verse 1? In reference to the first question, we've seen that various commentators take different positions. Some have the second sermon by Moses ending at chapter 26, a third sermon consisting of chapters 27 and 28, with verse 1 of this chapter, chapter 29, being a final summary statement of that third sermon, and then a fourth sermon beginning with verse 2 of chapter 29 and ending with chapter 30. Other commentators conclude the second sermon after chapter 28, and thus chapters 29 and 30 become Moses' third sermon or address to the people on the plains of Moab. A third position, which I lean toward at the present time, is that the second sermon ended with the directions for the 2 rituals in chapter 26. Chapters 27 and 28 then were instructions for the covenant renewal ceremony that would take place at Shechem when they entered the land, and now chapters 29 and 30 are the third sermon or address by Moses to the children of Israel on the plains of Moab before they crossed over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. In reference to the second question, a number of commentators see Deuteronomy chapters 29 and 30 as a separate covenant from the Mosaic covenant and call it the Palestinian covenant. Now, verse 1 of this chapter seems to support that view. Verse 1 once again, "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb." On the other hand, there is nothing new in these chapters that has not already been stated in the Mosaic covenant. So some commentators say the point of verse 1 is not a new covenant, but rather for renewed commitment to the Mosaic covenant. Remember, 40 years has gone by since Mount Sinai, and this is a new generation. Now, they will ratify the covenant at Shechem, in line with the instructions of chapter 27, as we've seen. But this will be later, after they cross the Jordan River and begin to conquer the land. Right now, they are on the plains of Moab, where a renewed commitment to the covenant by this new generation would be most appropriate. So we can't be completely sure as to whether chapters 29 and 30 are a different covenant or are a covenant renewal of the Mosaic covenant. In any case, the emphasis is on possession of the land for keeping the covenant, but expulsion from the land for breaking the covenant. Now, before we go to our doctrinal teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 29, let's look at the brief history of Israel that's given here. From their beginnings as a nation in Egypt, verses 2 and 3, to their present position on the plains of Moab, ready to go into the land. The emphasis is on the great signs and wonders and miracles that the Lord did for them. great things that they still did not fully appreciate and understand. Verse 4. Think of the miracle of their clothes and their shoes not wearing out for 40 years. Verse 5. They did not have to make their own bread and drink like other people because the Lord provided for them in the wilderness. Verse 6. And already the Lord had given them military victories and land on the east side of the Jordan River for the 2.5 tribes to possess. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 29. Doctrinal point number 1. Keeping the covenant would result in possession of the land. Keeping the covenant would result in possession of the land. Verses 10 through 15. Let's start with verse 9. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. All of you stand here today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. Already the land on the east side of the Jordan River had been taken and given as an inheritance to the 2.5 tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. Now the rest of the tribes were about to take possession of their allotted portions of the land. Here they would be established as a nation in the land that God gave them if they kept the covenant. Notice that all the people were involved in the covenant, not only the leaders, verse 10, but the children and foreigners and servants as well, verse 11. You know, young people are an essential part of the covenant community, then and today. We see in verses 14 and 15 that this covenant was not just for the generation of Moses' day, but for generations to come. Question: is it still good for the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob today? Yes, in reference to the land clause of this covenant, because the guarantee of the land goes back to the Abrahamic covenant, which was unconditional. So ownership of the land was unconditional, but possession of the land was conditioned upon obedience to the covenant. Keeping the covenant would result in possession of the land. Doctrinal point number 2. Breaking the covenant would result in expulsion from the land. Breaking the covenant would result in expulsion from the land. Verses 16 through 28. In verses 16 through 21, the emphasis is on the responsibility of every individual in the nation to keep the covenant. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by. And you saw their abominations and their idols which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root-bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. The Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. The people were warned about letting roots of bitterness get the best of them. Verse 18. You know, we too are warned about the deadly nature of bitter roots. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Hebrews 12:15. Let me ask you, are there any bitter roots in your heart right now? What would the scripture say? Keep a lid on it. Don't let bitter roots spring up and defile many. We see that the people were warned about boasting in their sins and thinking they could get away with it. verse 19. This defiance would result in judgment and physical death, verses 20 and 21. Illustration. I remember a young man who was a Christian bragging to me that he had divorced his first wife without any biblical grounds for divorce, and God had not judged him. You know, a few months later, he died of a heart attack. Now, Christians are not under the Mosaic law, but 1 John 5:16 says there is a sin unto death for a believer. 1 John 5:16. Now, in verses 22 through 28 of Deuteronomy 29, the emphasis is not on individual responsibility, but on the nation as a whole. Notice that these verses are really a prediction of what was to come. As a result of the Assyrian and Babylonian conquests, there would be plagues and disease, verse 22, so that the coming generation of your children who rise up after you and the foreigner who comes from a far land would say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord has laid on it, the land would be unproductive and desolate, like the land around Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities of the plain that God judged. Verse 23, the whole land is brimstone, salt, and burning. It is not sown, nor does it bear, nor does any grass grow there, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath. Verse 24, all nations would say, why has the Lord done so to this land? What does the heat of this great anger mean? The answer is in verses 25 and 26. Then people would say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, where they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods that they did not know and that he had not given to them. Now notice the end result in verses 27 and 28. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against this land to bring on it every curse that is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger, in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. Breaking the covenant would result in expulsion from the land. Now what about practical application? Concentrate on what God has revealed. Concentrate on what God has revealed. Verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, in context, this verse has to do with a clear revelation that God had given in his covenant, blessing for obedience, judgment for disobedience. But God had not yet revealed all of Israel's future. Now, the application of this verse is certainly wider in scope. The Lord has not revealed everything to us in his word, but he has revealed a lot. We should concentrate our studies on what God has revealed, not on what God has not revealed. And yet some Christians still like to spend their time speculating on what God has not revealed, like the date of the Lord's return or the number of angels. Listen, a certain amount of speculation is okay. But let's concentrate on what God has revealed.